Today I want to read a few verses in Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, for those who have a Bible, please turn there. Leviticus 25. And I'll read just three verses in that chapter. It was while I was reading this chapter this week, the Lord spoke to me concerning this morning meeting and what I should preach, and these words came to me with great freshness that we're going to read together. Leviticus 25, verse 47. And if a sojourner or stranger wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. Either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Now it's verse 48 especially to which I bring your attention. It says, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. These words in this whole passage have to do with a certain law that God gave in relation to the nation of Israel. When the nation of Israel was formed, the family unit featured very prominently, beginning with Abraham, his son Isaac, and then Abraham's grandson Jacob. The nation of Israel was brought into being. It was a nation comprised of 12 tribes, tribes that were named after the names of the 12 sons of Jacob. Now, as time went by, the population of those tribes increased mightily, so that by the time that they left Egypt, and they've been there for 430 years as a people, they were numbered in the millions. And so as the opening chapters of the book of Numbers tell us, the structure of the nation was then put in place and was ordered and was very precisely set in place around the family unit. And so in that particular way, Israel was taught, and we are taught today, that the family is a divine ordinance and is to be the very substructure of all human life and all human society. We could not place enough emphasis upon the institution of the family and the place of the family and the importance of the family with regard to life in this world. Furthermore, not only did the Lord reveal this fact of the family being his ordinance, he also revealed that he cares for the family. Within the nation of Israel, there not only were the 12 tribes, but there were all the families that were part of those tribes. And into families, the tribes themselves were divided. And beyond that again, every family had its own structure and its own place within its own tribe and within the nation as a whole. And there was provision made for the well-being and for the welfare of the families, every family of Israel. So we are taught, therefore, that God does care for families. And having instituted the family, he certainly puts around the family protection. He points out in his word how vital the family is. He shows that he cares for the family. Then to go a step further, as we study all these things in the Bible, we find that care that God had for Israel as a nation, and as tribes in a nation, and as families within tribes, extended as well to the individuals within those families. The Lord instituted laws so that every Israelite, right down to that personal level, every Israelite received the care that was essential for his or her proper well-being. Even when Israelites brought upon themselves calamities and brought upon themselves even despair, the care of a loving God, the care of a merciful God, was extended and was enjoyed. And that's what we have in view in these few verses that I've read with you just a few moments ago. That care of a personal kind, extended toward the individual, it's in view here in these verses. the verse that I bring to your attention, verse 48, which says again, after he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. This verse refers to a person being sold into slavery. Indeed, the words tell us that the man himself, or even it could be a woman, has sold himself or herself into slavery because of some personal failure, because of some personal fault. And in verse 47, you find that the reference is to someone falling into poverty, and the outcome is that to try to get out of this situation, he sells himself to be a slave. And so he realizes that he's responsible for his sad and his calamitous condition. And to try to get out of that condition, well, he sells himself. He becomes a slave. He believes thereby that somehow or other he can secure his freedom. Now, the image that's in view here is very obvious. It's one of destitution. It's one of hopelessness. It's a situation where it seems that the individual cannot find any recovery, any way out of by which he can be brought out of that situation into which he has brought himself. And in that we have a reflection, you see, and this is the point I want you to notice right now, we have a reflection of the miserable condition into which men have been brought, and indeed have brought themselves, as a result of their sin. The Bible reveals that man, by disobedience to God's law, has sold himself. And that's really true in a spiritual sense. He has sold himself into spiritual and moral bondage. And furthermore, he's bankrupt. He's bankrupt in soul, he's bankrupt spiritually speaking, he's guilty before God, and therefore by virtue of his own deliberate disobedience and his personal wickedness before God, he has left himself subject to all of the calamities and the miseries of this life, and especially and more awfully altogether to the awful calamities of a Christless eternity. This is the condition in which the human race is found. And yet, for such, as we're taught right here, there is a God who cares. There's a God furthermore, and there's a Savior who is able to deliver. I trust today that you who visit with us, and we're so delighted to see you, will realize that as a church, we care for you. We care for you, we care for your family, we care for your children. That's why we run a Sunday school. That's why we come to your doors. That's why we invite you and your children to be part of our Sunday schools. Because we have a care for you. And we do so because we realize that there is such a great need in the hearts of men and women and young people across our town and our borough. And we have that care because it is shown to us in this way. That is that the Lord himself cares about people. Just not the nation, just not the different sections of the nation, just not the families. And that's all very true. The Bible teaches that the Lord has a care for all these areas of humanity, but the Lord cares for the individual. And you know, my friend, that's a very, very encouraging thing. A very encouraging truth. Because you may feel in a real way that life for you has taken a bad turning, and life for you is a very, very unhappy situation for various reasons. That may be how you feel right now. You may not be happy at all. You may not be happy with your life or happy with the situation in which you're found, because you've begun to realize that there's something wrong in your heart and there's something wrong in your soul. And sin has brought you into trouble with God, into trouble even with others, because sin brings you into trouble right down the line with just about everybody when it runs its course. And you need a friend. You need somebody who cares about you. You need someone who will come into your life and intervene and deliver you and rescue you and lift you up and set you free and give you hope, hope that is everlasting and that is eternal as we find it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what this verse is actually showing us today. It says, after that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him. There is the deliverance that you need. You need to be redeemed. And this verse is saying this to you today, that you have this need, but it's also telling you much about redemption. And that's what I want just to leave with you under a few simple thoughts and headings as we come into this verse. Number one, there's the prospect of redemption. It says here, after that he is sold, and hear the wonderful words, he may be redeemed again. Now what a prospect that was for the slave in those days. The man, even the woman, whatever age the individual may have been, who had sold himself, herself, into slavery, had sold all hope and all prospect even of being delivered. And yet the message came from a loving God, a caring God. After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. Now there's the prospect of redemption. And in those words, there's a revelation to lost and guilty sinners that there is the prospect, the glorious prospect of being spiritually and morally delivered out of sin, out of the world, out of your hopeless condition, and be brought into a situation where you are set free, where you are delivered from all that sin has already done in your life and is doing at this moment. And listen to my dear friend. Will yet do to you if you continue in it. Because sin will destroy you. It will ruin you forever. But here's the prospect of redemption. And that prospect is really a prospect of liberation or being set free, because that's what the word redeem means. It means to set free. And so when we think about redemption, and the Bible teaches us that the gospel is the message of redemption, we come to understand as we study the Bible that the word redeem means to be liberated and to be set free. And that freedom is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. He himself said, if the Son shall set you free or redeem you, ye shall be free indeed, truly free, completely free from everything that sin does and brings into a person's life. And men and women are in bondage, and they are in slavery, and they're under the power of sin. I'm not talking about physical slavery here. There's no one in this gathering today who's a slave in that physical sense, in terms of having been sold to another individual. But listen, my friend, you are a slave spiritually. You're a slave with regard to your moral condition, with regard to your position before God. You're a slave to sin in so many ways. And you need to see that and understand this. It's a reality. It's something that truly exists. This is why the world's in such a turmoil. This is why mankind is in chaos. This is why governments don't know what to do. And they run to all the wrong places to find the answers and to find the solutions. And they think they can work it out. But they miss the one point, that man's heart is all upside down because of sin. And that's the reason for all the trouble in the world. Make no mistake about that. That's the reason. Man's a slave to sin, to lust, to evil pursuits, to whatever indulgence he follows out in his life, he's a slave to it. But the message of the gospel is a message of freedom. The prospect of redemption holds out the great view of this liberation that the Lord brings to men when he saves them, when he redeems them, as the word is right here. And then they are set free to do the will of God, set free to serve the Lord, set free to enjoy God, set free to follow his word and do his will throughout their days, and set free to live with him in heaven forever. Now, men and women, that's true freedom, and that's the prospect of redemption that we have right here in words like these. This great prospect of being redeemed and set free and liberated from sin. There's a man in the Gospels, and what an illustration he is of this liberation. In Mark 5, And in other gospel passages we meet this man. And he's a man who was dominated by the devil, full of demons, a man who gave himself to all kinds of wickedness, a man who could not be controlled by anybody. And they had tried to control him, and he broke all the chains, and he ran amok in his day and throughout his people, and he caused nothing but havoc until the day Jesus Christ found him. Until the day the Savior met him. And then he was found sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was in his right mind. He had been liberated because the Redeemer came his way. The Lord Jesus came into his life. And therefore the prospect of liberation became his. And he was wonderfully delivered. It's also the prospect of restoration. Because notice that the reference to the Israelite being sold signifies being sold into a state that is the very opposite of all that he would have enjoyed within Israel. Verse 47 talks about him waxing poor and selling himself unto the stranger. There's where he puts himself. He sells himself, he waxes poor, a stranger now owns him. And that word stranger means foreigner. And it's often used in the Bible to signify the concept of sinners being under the power of Satan himself. The stranger, who's in view right here, you see, he doesn't belong to the nation of Israel. And now this Israelite is owned by that stranger. One who's outside the company of God's people. He has become the property of a stranger, a foreigner, whose ways and whose habits and whose lifestyle is all against the mind and the will of God. Here is a picture, therefore, again, of the awful situation into which sin has brought men. But we're being told right here that the Lord's able to bring people back out of that. That's part of the prospect of redemption. Isn't only this matter of liberation, but it's a matter also of restoration. Being brought back into the enjoyment of what has been lost because of sin. And the whole human race has lost everything that man once had, spiritually speaking. It has been sold for the paltry price of sin and what sin supposedly brings. Men have sold themselves and all that God made man to be. He sold it all and he put himself in bondage and in slavery. He's under the control of a foreigner. A foreigner or a stranger owns him and rules him, and that foreigner is the devil. But the Bible's telling you today that there is the prospect of redemption from all that. Now you just think about your life at this moment in time. Can you really say, can you honestly say that you are truly free? Is it not true? Is it not really the situation where you are a slave to sins and to the powers of another? And while you may not even fully understand or recognize the extent of all this, there's a power, there's a force, there's a controlling factor in your life, and it's not God, and it's not holiness, and it's not that which is true and biblical and honest and glorious. Rather, it's the whole way of the world that's driven and dominated by the devil himself. Let me tell you, folks, the devil's a foreigner in this world. Because the devil has come into the world to oppose God and bring sinners into bondage and bring them down to everlasting ruin. And you're under the prince of the power of the air. See it today. Recognize it today. But notice with me, there's the prospect of being not only liberated through redemption, but being restored to God, to that which is right. It may be I speak to some even today, and you have backslidden away from the Lord. There was a time when you took the Lord Jesus Christ and trusted Him as your Savior. There was a day, there was a period of time when you walked with the Lord. And when you sought to do His will, you can remember being brought up in the gospel. You can remember being taught the things of God. You can remember even making a profession of faith and telling your parents or families, members or even others, I'm a saved person now. I've come to the Lord. But listen, what has happened? What has taken place? You're now no longer free. You've backslidden and you've gone away into the depths of sin and into the world and you've failed the Lord. But listen to me, dear friend. The Lord is able to bring you back out of that bondage of your backsliding and give you everlasting hope in Jesus Christ. The prospect of redemption. He may be redeemed again. Those are wonderful words. But there's also here the provider of redemption. One of his brethren may redeem him. One of his brethren may redeem him, our text says. Redemption, listen to God's word today. Redemption is found in a person. There is a provider of redemption. It says here, one of his brethren may redeem him. And on the higher level, leaving it or lifting it away from Israel and their national circumstances, we lift it onto a higher plane. We come to this matter of you. Someone who needs to be redeemed spiritually from the power of sin. You need a Savior. You need someone to set you free. And thank God there is a provider of redemption. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these very words point us to Christ. One of his brethren may redeem him. Where is redemption found? It's found in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has become the brother of the members of humanity by taking our humanity, by becoming man. Do you see it? That's why these words are gospel words. That's why they are such a powerful presentation of the doctrine of redemption, because they point us to the provider of redemption, our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our brother because he became man. Do you realize the momentous nature of that? That he who is and always was the eternal Son of God became man and came into the world and took our human nature. Oh, sinner, see it today, sense it today, understand it today. There's a Redeemer for you. There is not only the prospect of redemption, there's the provision of redemption because Jesus Christ became a man like you except for sin. Knew no sin, did no sin. One of the great examples of a redeemer in Israel was that man Boaz. Little book of Ruth. Ruth is a slave. Her mother Naomi is a backslider. Her mother-in-law Naomi is a backslider. They are destitute. They are hopeless and helpless in their impoverished state. There's nothing they can do for themselves, but Boaz steps in. And in the book of Ruth, it says this a number of times about Boaz. One that hath right to redeem. Now, why did Boaz have the right to redeem? Because Ruth and Naomi were in Boaz's family. And therefore, because of his relationship to them, he was their kinsman. And that's the very word that's in view here. One of his brethren may redeem him or his kinsman. That was the law of God. It wasn't an outsider. It wasn't somebody who was not related to these slaves. It had to be someone who was kin to them, family with them. That's why I said today, family is so important, isn't it? Isn't it good when you get into trouble, there's a family member to step in and help you and maybe alleviate the situation and give you comfort or whatever it might be, and you take that into the spiritual realm. My dear friend, my sinner friend, there is a friend. There is a Savior. There is a Redeemer who took your human nature in order to save a person like you. But in order to do that, that brings us to this thought. There is the price of redemption. Because the word redeem not only means to set free. The word redeem means to set free by the paying of a price. And he who was the provider of redemption could only provide it when he was willing to pay the price, his friend, maybe his brother, or maybe his son, or whatever the relationship might have been, had sold himself, had become impoverished, and could not buy his freedom that he needed. But this kinsman came along, and he has the wherewithal to redeem the person, and therefore he's willing to pay the price, and he does pay the price. And you read again in Ruth, and Boaz paid the price to set Ruth free and Naomi free. And listen, sinner, Jesus Christ paid the great price. And what a price he paid. What a price he paid in terms of his suffering and his shame and his agony and his pain to redeem one like you and save you from your sins. And Peter tells us very clearly what that price is. In 1 Peter 1:18, he says, "We're not redeemed with corruptible things, earthly things, an earthly price like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." And it is the blood of Jesus Christ shed by the dear Son of God that the Bible shows us to be the price that was paid for a sinner like you and for your redemption. And let me say to you, dear sinner, Christ loved someone like you. He died in your place. And he willingly shed his blood, as the Bible puts it, in order to secure your freedom from sin and break the bond of sin, in order to restore you to himself. Backslider, the way back, and you need to get back to God, the way back is through Christ, through the provider, and therefore through the price of redemption. And sinner, you need to be set free. Be honest with yourself. Are you really happy? Are you enjoying life at all? Is there not deep down in your soul this gnawing feeling of guilt? And while you try to put up a good show and give the impression to everybody you're happy and you're enjoying life, it's just not true. Because you feel the bondage of sin and the power of sin. And you know you're lost. And there's this conscience telling you that you're not right with God. And that sin has taken you down the broad road. And sin's finally going to destroy you as it will. And it will bring you down to everlasting hell as it will. Conscience is telling you that. The Word's telling you that. The Holy Ghost is probing your conscience at this very moment, isn't he? And he's telling you, sinner, it's time to come home. And here's the way back. It's through the precious blood of the Lamb. It's through the redemption that is found in Christ Jesus. After that he has sold himself, he may be redeemed. One of his brethren may redeem him. Thank God for redemption through the blood from sin and its power and the freedom that Christ gives. And oh, sinner, if you come to God through Christ today, then you'll experience this redemption. And until you seek the Lord, until you yield, until you see I'm a lost sinner, a bond slave to guilt and shame and folly, until you see all that, Christ will mean nothing to you. But oh, that you might see it today and you hasten to him. And again, dear person who's backslidden away, come back to the Lord today and seek him. Seek him with all your heart. Let us bow in prayer as we come to a close. May God take his word. May God use it. Just bow quietly and reverently in the Lord's presence in these closing moments. We'll simply be having a word of prayer. The meeting will be over. We thank you for being here. We trust that you will return again this evening and hear more of the Lord. Join in the happy event of our children taking part But hear the gospel. Know that today you might seek Christ. You might trust Him. If you want to seek after the Lord, speak to me or any of the elders or any Christian who's near you. And no doubt that person will be glad to help you. Lord, we pray today that Thou wilt give grace, that the Spirit will move, that a work will be done, that Thou wilt save, and Thou wilt deliver by the power of grace and the gospel. Hear as we pray, may the Holy Ghost bring that conviction over the soul, and may sinners pass from death unto life, and backsliders be brought home. For we pray this in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, amen.